Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's cast, How to Build a Network, Part 2 of 2.
This cast answers these questions. Why do I need a professional network? Who should be in my professional network? And how do I maintain my professional network?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Struggling to get your messages across clearly? Join the Virtual Effective Communicator Conference on October 2nd and learn to connect with any audience, whether in person, virtual, or via email. Gain actionable skills to lead, influence, and communicate more effectively. Reserve your spot today at manager-tools.com/training. We can move into the rules of network building. And we're going to start. This is where we start, I should say, the actionable piece. Y'all know us for being actionable. This is where the actionable starts stuff. What do I actually do? And there are three rules. We're going to start with rule one, which is build volume indiscriminately. And folks, this is the most important of all of the three rules or techniques. It is most important because it makes everything else so much easier. And it is also the most frequently violated for the wrong reason.
Yeah. What we mean by building volume is to accept anyone into your network. Anyone. Okay? Don't discriminate. Don't think about people as having value to you. We're thinking about everyone is of equal value in the beginning as you start to build your network.
Yeah. And folks, when most people start networking, building their network, they start by identifying who they want in their network. And then they try to analyze who they need and why in their network. And in many cases, we have seen this over-analysis, if you will, this targeting specific human beings as opposed to just building indiscriminately as a killer to network building. Because if you're just starting it now, you have no idea who you should have and shouldn't have in your network. You don't know who's right or wrong. And therefore, you're going to be targeting the wrong people. And it is going to wildly, vastly limit the number of people in your network. And because of that, many people don't ever progress in their network building capacity beyond this first step. Because they're so wrapped around the axle, worried about who should I choose, and I don't really know, and will they be good for me in the future, and just don't.
Yeah.
Just indiscriminately.
And by the way, we see you coming. I'm somebody who a lot of people want in their network, and it's just so embarrassing for them to attempt to ingratiate themselves to me and to get a referral of a referral in order to talk to me. And I'm like, wow, you just want what I have, not you have nothing to offer me. You're literally out to bag me. And it's crazy. So high school kids, the librarian at your son's school, all the stuff, that's all normal. Okay. Learn early on as you're starting to build your network to use the skills indiscriminately. So you get a lot of reps that will make you better at interacting. And again, we know some of you don't naturally like people. If you've been listening to me for a while, you've heard some of the podcasts and you think he seems like a pretty outgoing guy, pretty friendly, pretty cheerful guy. I'm not naturally. I'm a high D in DISC. I also have some high I, but I wouldn't be if I hadn't started my career in sales. When I got out of the Army, I was high D. I didn't have a lot of friends at West Point. I worked really hard and did what I was supposed to do, but I wasn't terribly friendly or personable or outgoing. I've since learned that Horseman's First Law is all about people, but I didn't know this. I definitely didn't know it. All the people who say build your network are the ones who are trying to get to somebody else. Those are the people who teach it, the people who have these huge networks, and it's wrong. Now, if you're sitting there now and you're saying, wait a minute, you mentioned some people that I would never even consider. You're like, what can those people, what can the church secretary do for me? Two answers. We're going to give you rule number two in a minute, but also consider this. If your thinking and approach to networking starts with what this person can do for me, everyone whom you try to add to your network will think about you, she's out for herself. or he's about himself, or he's out, you know, he's out for number one. If you do that, people will see you coming and you will fail at building your network. And then you will start hating networking. And it's not because networking is bad. Networking, the way people talk about it, is bad. Building a network is good and valuable and helpful, but you did it wrong. And now you've lost the ability to have such a powerful tool for the rest of your life. And it's because you did it wrong, because you focused on you.
Yeah. Well, and folks, I think it can sometimes help to when you're worried about this, what can they do for me? To think about your network like a funnel. The more people you put into the top of the funnel, the more people will fall out of the bottom of the funnel. And if you're too careful about putting people into the top of the funnel, the bottom of your funnel is going to have like
tiny,
your spouse and your direct reports and like your kids, which isn't great. So the more people you can put into the top, the more people will fall out the bottom, which if you start by thinking, well, how can they help me, is going to wildly limit how many people go in the top, and the people that come out the bottom aren't going to be very many.
Yeah. And if you haven't, like I said before, if you haven't done this a lot, that means you're going to struggle the first few times. If you have all the important people that you want to meet that will help your career or get you promoted or give you a job offer, if you have them at the top of your list and you start with them, you're going to make all your stupid mistakes with them and maybe lose some of those people who might have otherwise chosen to be in your network because you're not very good. And look, it's okay to not be good at this, maybe even for quite a while. You're still a little bit awkward and uncomfortable and so on, but you know it's the right thing to do. Just like you'd rather have steak on Friday night, but you're going to choose to have hamburger and you're going to pocket the $3 or $4 that you saved on that Friday night eating with your family, with your spouse, with your kids or whatever, and you're going to pocket that and put it in your retirement account. But if you use this wrongly, selfishly, it's not okay to know you'll be weak at networking or building a network, and then visit that on all the best people right away. It's not even logical.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm not sure that anyone, I'm not sure many of our listeners have read this book, but Tim Sanders, who wrote Love is the Killer App, says on page 119, this works best when it's done with the underlying philosophy that every person is potentially relevant to you and your network. Don't screen anyone out.
This guy's a genius. I love him.
I know. And here we go. Sometimes people who may appear powerless or insignificant are potential stars waiting to rise. Someday, they may become a key node in your network. And if you put them in your network early, they will remember that you were on their side before they went large.
Yeah.
And that's what it amounts to, right? Those people in your network, they might not become anything, but they might.
Yeah, we're not having them in our network because they might become something. We're having them in our network because we believe they're a good person and we think we could be helpful to them, and the world is a better place if more of us are connected. Oh, by the way, we're talking about volume now, okay? And at the same time, we're talking about individuals. So let's be clear about this. The rule of indiscriminate volume is still accomplished one person at a time. You're not going to be building your network by sending out mass emails to people of email addresses you have. All you have to do is one person a week. If you did one person a week in your 20s, you would have 1,000 people. That puts you in the top 0.1% of people's networks. Now, mind you, if those 1,000 are in your network, I don't just mean you know them or you have their email address, but that you have stayed with touch with them for 1 or 2 or 3 or 5, or maybe even as much as 10 years. We're not trophy hunting here. If you need an example, okay, you're not trying to fire a rifle at the one person who can do the most for you, because we'll see you coming and we won't like it. It's actually much more like commercial fishing with large nets, where we're going to catch a lot of fish, right? We're going to focus on volume.
Exactly. All right. So that is rule number one, which takes us to rule number two, which is give, give, give. So hopefully you see the relationship between the first rule and this rule. If you're out there trophy hunting, you're going to be sending a message that says, I'm going to use you later. or God forbid, I'm going to use you right away. And the best people to know in the long run are not going to be impressed by someone who is trophy hunting, who only wants to build a relationship so that they can be used later. You don't want that from the people you're communicating with. Why would anyone want that from you?
Yeah, exactly. And closely related to trophy hunting is baiting the trap, where you try to disguise your intent by doing something to suck up to somebody important. But again, look, folks, we really can see you coming. It doesn't work. We don't mind if you buy us lunch, and we don't really care who pays for lunch, frankly, in most cases, but offering always is a nice thing to do. And if you get into a regular situation of having lunch or coffee, you don't have to fight over the check. You can offer to do it. If they offer to take it, let them do so. And you generally switch off. It's not a big deal. There are some people who say, no, you can't pay for anything for me. I have to split the bill. I don't find those people particularly appealing. I don't know what it is about that they don't want to feel indebted to someone else, but I'm not trying to make them feel indebted to me. I'm simply trying to give them a small gift. That's all. And if they're rejecting my gift, okay, maybe I'm not going to be somebody who can give to them. So maybe they're not going to be in my network for very long.
Yeah. And folks, remember, this is give, give, give. So if you believe in the reciprocity that is inherent to the concept of building a network, that's good. That's good. We want you to think that, but it is not good to try and make it happen immediately. This is not reciprocity or building a network. That's favor trading. We're not favor trading here, right? Will favors get traded in your network? Yes, but that is a byproduct of trust and of communication. That is not a tactic in the beginning or a metric to worry about ever throughout the course of this process.
Exactly.
Don't go into it thinking, oh, we're going to trade favors here. Again, that's creepy. People can see you coming. It's not good. It is not good.
There was an article in Harvard Business Review about a study around networking. They put a bunch of business professionals in a room with the expressed intent of helping them network. Everyone wore location transmitters, and the study showed who talked to whom and for how long. The study essentially concluded that people did not follow the guidance about diversity. Investment bankers congregated, marketers talked to each other. Not a lot of cross-pollination. But what was also interesting was that the person identified as the best at building his network was the bartender. Think about it. Everybody came to him because of what he offered them. It wasn't what he got. It was what he gave.
Exactly.
So if you want to be building a great network, give, give, give.
Now, this next point, you might have heard it a little bit when Mark was going through our overview at the beginning.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I gave it away.
There's a horseman's corollary to the give rule, and it is to give and give and give until it hurts. And I think our listeners can appreciate the example that Manager Tools has provided. I mean, we've put out thousands of hours worth of content over the last 20 years that is completely free for any person who has access to the internet to consume and benefit from. And that is a massive network. And we continue to give stuff away all of the time.
This is free, right?
This is free. Absolutely.
This podcast is free.
Yes. And if you're listening to this for free, please share this free gift with all of your friends who will take benefit for free. We give freely of our time and our energy beyond what anyone, including us, sometimes think is reasonable. Think about that when you think about how much you ought to give to your network.
Offer to help folks in your network in any way you can, and also try to learn more about them every time to help make your giving more effective, more focused, and so on. Be attentive to other people's needs. You don't have to be a naturally friendly, outgoing person to do this. You can simply start paying attention to other people. I didn't think it would work, knew I had to as a salesperson, and now it's fundamentally who I am. And
yeah, it's natural now.
I'm the one writing all these podcasts and giving them away for free. It's a really bad business model, by the way. Yeah, offer others in your network to help them as well.
That's exactly it. Give, give, give until it hurts. Do you feel like your career is running you instead of the other way around? It doesn't have to be that way. The Career Tools License helps you take control with step-by-step tools that actually work. Try it first with a 30-day free trial and build the career you deserve. Visit us at manager-tools.com/licenses. And that takes us then to rule number three, which is stay in touch with, or what we call over here, Control-Shift-Gay. Now, really, when you think about it, if you're going to build and maintain a network, you've got to get people into the network, but then you've also got to keep them in the network, which is pretty simple when you think about it. The quantity as well as the quality of interactions with another person is what is important and significant for keeping them in your network. You got to keep them there.
Yeah. And look, for some reason, we all fall prey to enjoying friendships, but as we move and change jobs, people just fall away from us. And that's one of the thinking modalities that's really helpful. They're a friend of yours, they're now in your network, and you have to maintain them in your network as opposed to lose them when you move away or whatever. And we all have a story of at least one, if not multiple people, whom we regret losing contact with, wishing we'd stayed in touch with them. I had a high school friend I was really close with all throughout high school. We went to different colleges, and this is back when I don't think he had a phone. He could have called me. Certainly, there were no cell phones. He could have called me, but it would have not have been easy. He'd probably have to call my parents and say, what is the emergency number to reach Mark at West Point? Because people just didn't get phone calls. And we totally lost touch. And as the years went on, this friend of mine became a C-suite executive for one of the most well-known companies in all of America. It was like a trophy spot. Anyone in his field would immediately take this job. And there were some serious perks he got access to because of it. But because of falling away, I knew where he was. I could never ask him for a favor. And in fact, I don't think I would have, nor do I think he would have asked me for a favor. And then we later reconnected. And because we reconnected after my friend's career advancement, it felt different to me. Imagine if this friend of mine had sensed any interest that I only sought to reconnect because what I might get out of it, which was a lot, because he was in a role that would be very valuable for me to know about. And what do you think the likelihood that we would still be friends today? We reconnected. And in nearly 25 years of being reconnected, so we were connected until we were 18, and then we were not connected for the next 20 years until we were 40. And now we've been reconnected and are very close friends for the last 25 years, and I have never asked him for a favor.
Yeah. The falling away was perfectly natural and completely normal. And then the reconnecting, perfectly natural and perfectly normal.
Yeah.
But because the reconnection happened after he went big, I'm going to call it, right? After he went big, then there's always this underlying, like, will I look like I just became his friend again to, like, get the perks, which is just human.
Yeah. He says, if you ever need anything, let me know. And I said, dude, have you not checked? I've never asked you for a single favor, not one time. He says, yeah, I know. That's why I'm offering. He says, you could. I'm like, I'm never gonna. And he has other people who have connected to him who immediately ask for favors once they get reconnected because he's in a position to do
favors.
Major favors.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. Now, folks, along the theme of the stay in touch with, this may feel difficult to you. It may. And it is the easiest rule of all three rules. I mean, we referred to this earlier, Mark. There is so much technology that exists today to help you do this. It is insane. All you got to do is capture contact information from the person and then make a note to stay in touch. That's it. I can't even imagine something easier than that. Just make a note, pick a period in time between calls and emails.
3 months, 4 months, 5 months,
exactly.
Something like that.
Set yourself some reminders to call or email or text or whatever. Shoot them a note on LinkedIn. I don't know. There's so many ways that you can do it. That's all you got to do. That's it.
Yeah. And if you're thinking you're super busy and you don't have time for more tasks, I'll say two things. One, the task takes 2 minutes. No, it doesn't even take that. Send a text message to one of my old friends. It takes 10 or 15 seconds. And you can maintain a relationship at a distance across the country, across the globe, at a fairly high level for years with nothing more than 10 to 15 seconds every 2 or 3 or 4 months. The other thing is, you're the grasshopper. You're not the ant. It's exactly what you're saying. I don't have time for that. This is fun. It's warm. It's nice. I want to relax. Great. Go ahead. I got to tell you, the people who are getting ahead in the world, they're not relaxing. They're working hard and they're building their network. We have an entire podcast, by the way, called Staying in Touch. The first time we released this guidance, I got so many emails from people like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Oh, I could do it that way. Oh, okay, what do I do? And they wanted engineering level answers to, well, should this person be 2.5 months and this person be 2 months and 3 weeks or four? Like, that's all, it's crazy. So we'll give you more details in the podcast, Staying in Touch, how often to reach out. The widest gap ought to be about 6 months. Quarterly really is what we generally are plus or minus around most of the time. People's lives are busy. And if you only reach out to them twice a year, you're one step ahead of a Christmas card, and that's not actually a networking technique. It is. But if all you do is send a Christmas card and think you have a relationship with that person, you're smoking crack.
Yeah, exactly. And folks, if you're worried about what to say on the phone, you could say something as simple as—
If you chose to call.
If you chose to call.
Text or email.
Exactly. You could say something as simple as, hey, Laura, this is Sarah. Hope this finds you well. I was in Dallas the other day and thought of you and hope the move to Chicago went well and that your new job is excellent. Work is fine. Family's great. Best wishes. Enjoy your weekend. There's really nothing wrong with leaving a voicemail on a work line at 7 p.m. You're going to want to be ready to chat just in case they're there and they pick up. You're going to want to be able to say some things. But yeah, you can leave a voicemail and it might feel a little bit awkward. And anything that you're doing for the first time that you haven't really done before at mass feels super awkward, but you're going to get over it in 20 calls or so. And again, for those of you that need more specific examples of what to say, we also have a podcast called Staying in Touch Examples that is more about the content of the message and what you could actually say in that message itself.
And look, folks, this is not hard with all, like Sarah says, with all the tools available at your disposal. You can make your network maintenance pretty trivial with a simple automated task or a reminder. When you meet someone new, you're going to get their contact information. Heck, it used to be business cards or writing numbers down for those people who didn't have business cards yet. A lot of very junior people in a lot of big companies didn't get business cards. You had to be a manager before you got a business card, unless you were talking to customers. And then you had to call someone and leave a message with somebody on their staff, perhaps. Now, all you have to do is put your phone up, at least in an iPhone, you put your phone up next to someone else and they have your contact information.
At our recent Effective Executive Conference, Mark, I am a bit of a Luddite. I was trying to share the Wi-Fi password with our friend Tim Ottersberg, and we accidentally sent each other contacts. I was like, oh.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I guess that's what'll happen if we touch our phones. And then I still have to figure out how to get them the Wi-Fi password, but it's easy. I mean, you just touch your phones to each other.
Yeah, exactly. So you add it to your contacts, and then you set up a recurring task or a calendar reminder to recur at regular interviews. It's that easy. Now, when I wrote this cast 20 years ago in Microsoft Outlook, all you had to do was hit Control-Shift-K, and that opened up a task. I assume it was K because of task, right? And you stay in touch with them, and then you use Control-Shift-K. And then after that, you did Control G and set a recurrence of that task. Like if you're going to a party on Tuesday and you want a reminder, hey, time to leave for the party, that's a one-time thing. But you can, for any task, at least you could in Outlook, you could do Control G. I tried this morning on my Mac Pro. I opened Outlook, which I have.
Yeah.
And the new version does not have Control Shift K as a task, but I don't think we really need to tell you there's so many different versions and flavors of technology today, if we made it all about Control-Shift-K, 30,000 people would write in and say, I don't like Control-Shift-K. Like,
well, okay, that's true.
I'm not a technology consultant. I don't know what your device is or what your
that's
OS
just so
is.
Sad for those people that are maybe new to the manager tools community. Control-Shift-K is a pretty standard manager tools reference for this activity of setting up these reminders. So it's sad that they got rid of that. So Microsoft, if you want to bring it back, we're fans.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. As Mark said, this is just an example of a technique that can help. But in a world filled with software and tools that are built to make our lives easier, you can find plenty of easy ways to be reminded on a regular basis to follow up with individuals. And you don't need to send articles, as some people recommend. Does it help? Sure. But don't let that stop you from calling or from emailing. Do you need to get ready for the call somehow or always add value? No. Just get them in your funnel and start developing a relationship, and all of that other stuff will come.
Exactly. Let me summarize here. Building a network doesn't require schmoozing, folks. It doesn't. It doesn't require cocktail parties. Doesn't require events where you meet tons of people and have to touch phones or share business cards. Building a network, which is a core professional skill, requires nothing more than the diligence to reach out to people systematically over a long period of time.
Exactly. And we don't build networks because of what we're going to get, but you can be darn sure that having one will be of value to you at some point, because folks, life happens. And when it happens to you, you'll find support in the relationships that you've worked to build and maintain over time. Going back to Mark's fable earlier, you'd rather be Aesop's aunt when the winter comes instead of looking forward to a miserable cold and certain death with all of the other grasshoppers.
Too much drama probably for a podcast about professional life, but that's what happened to the grasshopper.
Exactly. They're insects.
Folks, I'll tell you, I really hope that the young people who are listening, the 20, 25-year-olds, even 30-year-olds, start now. Probably my greatest professional regret is I waited too long to start.
Yeah, best time to plant a tree. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much, folks. We hope that this guidance has helped you. Now help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please. Bye, folks. Thank you.